Celebrations have already started, but it is America 250. I hope you all got your flag, America 250. What is America 250? America 250 is celebrating the anniversary, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. America 250 is a time to remember the past, to honor those who gave their life so that we all could see a greater good. A time to ask for forgiveness where we've fallen short and to pray for God's best in the future. You know, America, this country, has been shaped, has been molded over the years for a number of different things. There's been four major wars that have defined America. The American Revolutionary War between 1775 and 1778. America fighting from independence, for independence against Great Britain. The War of 1812. This is the second war of independence. This one cementing American independence from Great Britain, eliminating Great Britain's influence in America. America in 1846, there was a Mexican-American War where we were fighting for territory. In 1861, there was a Civil War in America where two sides were fighting to divide the country into two. They didn't want one. They didn't want one country anymore in America. They wanted two. And so there was a civil war. We know July 4th, 1776, America severed ties with Great Britain, forming the American Democrats that we have today, stating all men are created equal. The pursuit, life, liberty, happiness, the right given to people to abolish a bad government, serving as the birth certificate of America. You know, many founding fathers believed in a supreme creator who set life in motion. Patrick Henry, Samuel Adams, not the beer, the guy, Samuel Adams, he was a firm believer that a Christian society was necessary for survival of a free country. John Hancock, John Jay, called out publicly for national days of prayer, fasting, to adhere to biblical principles. The country came together by many who agreed, but some who disagreed, some who fought, some who sacrificed, many ultimately giving their life for a better future, for a better country, for a free country. Today, America is experiencing a great divide once again. Not to the level yet of what it was in the Civil War, but studies show, people who study what's going on in America can see the tension rising every single day, socially, politically, politicians who are dividing the country on core beliefs, creating, inspiring hate, anger, division. This morning we stop, we pause, we ask ourselves, where does the division come from? With that, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 12 and start in verse 22. A demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could both speak and see. The crowd was amazed and asked, could it be that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah? When the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and he replied, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. If Satan is casting out Satan, he's divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. And if I'm empowered by Satan, what about your exorcists? They cast out demons too. So they will condemn you for what you have said. But if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. Anyone who isn't working with me actually is working against me. So I tell you, every sin blasphemy can be forgiven, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never, ever, 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 ever be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man, Jesus, can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or the world to come. Verse 33, a tree, a person, a heart, a mind is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, the fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For what is ever in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from a treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle, careless word you speak. The words you say, they will acquit you, free you, or they will condemn you. Jesus, this morning, kind of defining, showing what division and where it all began and where it comes from. We see that in our text this morning. Jesus gets himself in trouble again. Now, Jesus is never in trouble with everybody, but there are a few people constantly that he gets in trouble. And what does Jesus get in trouble for? He sees a man who's brought to him, who he couldn't speak and he couldn't see. Did he slap the man? Did he spank him? Did he kick him? Did he make fun of him? No, Jesus healed the man. He delivered the man. He couldn't speak and he couldn't see. Jesus helped the man. It said he was possessed by a demon. Jesus rebuked the demon and the demon left. The demon who attacked this demon that was attacking him from the inside out, Jesus healed him. Now, if Jesus healed someone who couldn't speak and couldn't see, does that give anyone the right then to judge or condemn Jesus? What was Jesus doing? He was doing good for another person. Jesus healed him. He helped him. He gave him a new life. He gave him hope. He gave him peace. And here he is once again, because many of us know in life, sometimes no matter what you do, no matter how much good you do, there's always going to be somebody who doesn't like you. How many of us who know somebody who, for whatever reason, they're just constantly getting into trouble? Sometimes their mouth, it just rambles on and on and on and on and on and on. And so the more they talk, they get themselves into trouble. Many of us have known people who are thieves, who can't stop themselves from stealing, constantly stealing over and over and over again, doing bad, doing wrong. But many of us know that if you continue to live a life of breaking the law, eventually you will pay. Jesus, constantly in trouble, really with just one group of people. This was the religious people. Threatened for doing wrong. Judged for doing wrong. Miscorrectly. Not defined. This group of people constantly, all they did was come at Jesus. And why would they do that? What did he do? What was Jesus? Why was he so bad? Why was he? What was he? What was it about Jesus that bothered the Pharisees, the religious? We know he loved sinners. We know he taught the sinners. We know he healed the sick. He provided for hungry people. All he did 24/7 was do good to people. Jesus, teaching people. After he gave him a second chance, he smacked him on the butt and said, okay, now go and sin no more. Many people turned to Jesus. They turned away from bad lifestyles and they put their life and trust in Jesus' hands. Sometimes 99% of people, sometimes what we do, what we say, it's reflected because there's some kind of fear that is inside of us. We know that the Pharisees, the religious people, they did not like Jesus. They were intimidated by Jesus. And one of the things that they misspoke about Jesus is because the fear that they had, the fear, Jesus is going to take our disciples. Jesus is going to take away our job. Jesus, look at what Jesus is doing. And so part of the reason that they were negative, part of the reason that they were hateful, was the fear that they had inside them. We can't live our lives, many of us, making excuses. I don't do good because of someone else. I don't do good because I'm afraid to do this. Some people live for a false image. Jesus constantly did good no matter what people said, no matter what they did to him. He always lived a life of doing good. And this morning he expects us, this country, celebrating 250 years, 250 meaning faith, a positive life change, living for divine guidance in this year to do something, to do good, to change where we live. No more excuses. No more blaming anybody else. No living in fear and no living for a false image. God wants us to do good. Do you think this morning we could stand before God and say, I don't do good because? Now, sometimes we say, I don't do good because I don't have enough money. Right? Have you ever said, I don't do for others because I don't have enough? God will provide. If your heart is to do for others and do good, then God will make a way. Do you think we can stand before God today and give him a number of reasons? I don't do this and do this for people because I don't help the homeless. I don't help needy people. I don't do good for people because. How many of us know this morning we all have excuses? We all have blamed somebody else. We all have lived in fear. But maybe today it's a new day to say, no more excuses. It's time to live a life of doing good. Jesus got in trouble for living a life of doing good, and he expects us to follow in his footsteps. Jesus having this conversation, because many of us know when you're insecure, when you're full of pride, when you're full of fear, what do? You name call. And so the religious people, what do? They said, he is empowered by Satan himself. Sometimes when we are bothered on the inside, what do? We resort to calling other people names. When we're angry, when we're hurt, when we're mad, when we're insecure, when life is not going our own way, what do? We resort to calling other people names. What did they call Jesus? Jesus, everything that you're doing, it's not good. You're empowered by Satan himself. The religious people, the religious leaders, they cared more about their own beliefs. They cared more about their own comfort than the truth itself. The religious in the story, we know that they were insecure. We know they were jealous of Jesus. We know that they were afraid of Jesus. So what did they do? They constantly attacked Jesus, constantly living a life of attacking. You didn't see one time hardly them ever support Jesus. Every time they said something good about Jesus, the Bible says it was to trick him, to trap him. They weren't ever genuinely kind or good to Jesus. These were the religious leaders of the day. These were the men that people looked up to read the Bible, to publicly read the Bible. These were the men who lived and dressed professionally, who studied the Bible and knew it better than anybody else. But no matter how good they thought they were in themselves, in their outfits, in their clothes, how much they thought they knew the Bible, they missed Jesus in every single thing that he did. They couldn't see him. They couldn't hear him. And they didn't want to. They wouldn't constantly belittle Jesus, attack him, and try and tear him down. They thought they knew the Bible. And they thought in knowing the Bible they can justify their wrongful actions. Jesus, in response to being called Satan, he said, listen, if I'm Satan and I cast out Satan, that's a kingdom working against itself. And if a kingdom works against itself, it's going to fall. If a town, if a family is divided against itself, it will be in trouble. Jesus saying, listen, carefully explaining this kingdom, this house, this division. He goes, look at my work. This is what I do. This is what I do. And you're telling me that I am empowered by Satan. Think. He didn't say that, but this is what his words are basically saying to the religious. Think clearly in your words. Think about what you're saying. Are you speaking lies or are you telling the truth? He said, listen, What do you say about your people? You have people who get rid of demons. So are they also empowered by Satan? Or is it just me? Jesus said, is it just me? If I rebuke a demon, then I'm the only one that's empowered by Satan? Or would it be your disciples as well? Jesus said, listen, if I'm here, sent by God, full of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God has now arrived. And he said, you have to make a decision. Are you with me or you're against me? He said, anyone who isn't with me opposes me. Anyone who isn't working with me, they're working against me. So if we're not with Jesus, it says, then we oppose Jesus. If we are not working for Jesus, Jesus said, then you're working against me. If we're working with Jesus, we're working with him. But if we're not working with him, Jesus said, then you're actually working against me. God created every single one of us to do beautiful things on this planet, to work hard, to create, to do good for ourselves, for our families, for our friends, for the town, for the community that we live in, to do constantly things that reflect who he is. God is beautiful. God is amazing. God is our creator. God is our designer. God is full of love and grace and mercy. Look at the stars. Look at the moon. Look at the sun. Look at the sand. Look at the beach. Look at all the beautiful things, the sunrises, the sunsets that God gives to us every single day. God is beautiful. And in his beauty, he gives us that ability to shine beauty everywhere we go, to be a light. He calls us to be a light. He goes on to say to the religious, he says, listen, you can talk about me all you want. You could still be forgiven. But if you talk about the Holy Spirit, you will never, ever be forgiven. And the language that Jesus used there when he said to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, I used to think that when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're talking about people maybe who are full with the Holy Spirit and doing things in the Holy Spirit. But Jesus didn't say that at all. In the language, what he said is, if you can't hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, then you will never turn and be saved. So I know the English doesn't really do justice. The original language that it was written in, Jesus said this, when he said, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you'll never be forgiven. What that means is, if you don't stop and listen to the Holy Spirit, you will never, ever be saved. Never, ever be saved. What stops us from hearing the Holy Spirit? To us, if salvation is defined, Jesus, by what he said here, then what stops us? Sometimes pride, sin, insecurity, guilt, fear, just like the religious, jealous, bitter, hate, anger. If the Holy Spirit and hearing his voice is the only way we can turn from our life and turn to life to God, if it is the most important thing here, then we have to ask ourselves, is there anything stopping me from hearing God's voice? If I live, have I put myself in the position to hear God's voice? How many of us have things that we pray for? How many of us have people we pray for? How many of us pray that other people could be healed? How many of us pray for other people to get better? How many of us pray for provision and security and healing and deliverance and all these things? On and on and on. We pray because we want things. We want to see things. And at the same time, God's saying, listen, and I want to show you, and I want to provide all those things. But I need you to stop and listen. To listen to the Holy Spirit. Lastly, in our text, Jesus said, people are identified by our fruit. If we talk about God, if we talk about Jesus, if we talk about the Holy Spirit, if we talk about faith and trust, obedience in God's word, trust and love and peace and patience and kindness, being the light and truth, if we talk about the things that are God, then what does it mean that we're identifying our life with God? Those simply, Satan doesn't care if you say that you identify with him, but if your fruit from your life shows hate, anger, bitterness, fear, sin, darkness, lies, and division, then who does that mean that you're representing your life with? Jesus said in the Beatitudes, the humble people inherit the earth. And you know why the humble people inherit the earth? It's because the humble people can admit when they're wrong. In the beginning, Adam and Eve, we know the very first two wonderful, beautiful, handsome people that were created, they were deceived. And they were deceived by Satan, because Satan is a liar. And not only is he a liar, he's a really good liar. Humble people can know when they're deceived by Satan, and they can take a step back and say, you know what? I was deceived, and I was lied to, and I shouldn't have said this. I was deceived, and I was lied to, and I shouldn't have caused division here. I shouldn't have destroyed this over here. The humble people inherit the earth because it's the humble people who can admit when they have believed into the lie of the enemy. Galatians 5:19 says, we have to be careful. Don't follow the desires of your sinful nature, because the results will be clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, fighting, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone living that sort of life will never inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. But those who belong to Jesus have nailed their passion, desires of the flesh to the cross and crucified them there. So we started today talking about America 250, the number 250 describing faith, positive life changes, having divine guidance. But in the year 250, and really for the last couple of years, we see that our country has been divided more than it has been in a long time. And we ask ourselves, because people blame the president. People are blaming governors, senators, blaming the government, maybe blaming the country they work for. Maybe people are blaming family members. Maybe people blame themselves. But where does it all come from? This morning, to hear this morning, division, it only comes from one place. It comes from Satan. And if we've ever took part in a divide, then we bought into his lie. If we've ever took part into dividing the country, if we've ever took part in dividing family, if we've ever took part in dividing friends, if we've ever took part in dividing a church, if we've ever took part in doing things that are against God's word, we bought into a lie. So our country, people today, families are so divided. The enemy has done a good job in politics, as we know, in the government, in the country, but let's be honest, even in homes today, causing division over, we know, the president, causing division over faith in God. There's so many things he's caused division about, but understand, the Bible says what? He's the author. He is the father of what? Lies. And Satan, what does he do? He wants to divide. God likes to bring together. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God says, listen, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people back to God and to each other. The ministry of what? Reconciliation. Bringing what? Us people back to God and back to each other. Because we in ourselves, let's admit it, in our humanness, because we can be broken at times, we can be hateful, we can be angry, we can be proud, we can hurt other people without realizing it. God in himself says, listen, come back to me and come back to each other. America 250. So one last scripture, we're going to go to Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 25. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and he said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate What? Hate everyone else. Your father, your mother, your wife, your children, brothers and sisters, even your own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. If you don't carry your own cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish? Otherwise, you might completely complete the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started that building, couldn't afford to finish it. What king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against them? And if he can't, he'll send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Salt. It's good for seasoning, man, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt, good neither for the soil nor for manure. It's thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. You know, America has built a country, a place, but really a people. They wanted freedom. They wanted the freedom to choose their own path, their own way, separating from the great Britain, from the great evil. Many of these men and women, they dedicated their life to becoming this country called America, the United States of America. And what did they do in the pursuit of freedom? They fought. Man, they fought. War after war after war, arguments after arguments after arguments, debates after debates, debates, constantly giving. They would work their fields, and then at night they'd go have a debate and argue about how they're going to achieve this word freedom. Coming together, uniting, pulling together. Many of them, sleepless nights, many of them, unfortunately, paid with their life as their blood spilled out on the fields because they believed in this country. They believed in the people that were here. They believed in this America. They believed that God had a plan, that God had a future. They believed in this fighting so that we could have a better future. Many of us this morning, I think we enjoy certain freedoms that we have here in America, but sometimes what we don't realize is every freedom we do have, every freedom we do enjoy, it came at a cost. This American freedom, there's a lot of things that feel like freedom, but nothing's ever free. We know that. No matter how many commercials, no matter how many times we've heard free, nothing is free. Every single thing we have, it came at a cost. And so celebrating this year, it's to honor people. Were they perfect? No. But are any of us in here perfect this morning? Are we perfect? Have we ever made a mistake in our life? Have we ever hurt another person intentionally or unintentionally? And if we have, and if we could say, I'm not perfect, then why do we hold sometimes the fathers of this country, why are we holding them to a standard maybe that some people don't hold to themselves? We're not here to honor the mistakes that people made in the past, but we honor them for the things that they did to make America what it is, the country that we have today. America, United States of America, it came at a cost. Life, many of us in here have lived 15, 16, 17 years of life. Understand that life comes at a cost. If I play video games all night, the next day I'm going to be tired. If I work on cars all day, my hands, my body, they're going to be what? They're going to be sore. If I go out and buy things, then I'm going to spend money out of my bank account, then my bank account's going to shrink, maybe go down to zero. Every single thing we do in life, it what? It comes at a cost. Sometimes we want to ignore the cost. Sometimes we want to pretend that there is no cost. Sometimes we act like there's nothing in the past that I had a cost that I'm associated with anymore. All of us have some kind of past, good things that we did. Yes, thank you for the good we did. Some of us in here, we have bad, horrible things that would send us in hell because of bad things we've done in the past. Jesus said there's words. You give an account for every careless, idle word you speak. And let's be honest in here. Every single one of us this morning, we have said careless, idle words. Every one of us. By that alone, Jesus said, you will stand before me on judgment day because of careless, stupid words you say. So there's things in the past we've said, we've done, wrongful deeds. And they have, unfortunately, defined many of us this morning. Life in the present, the moments we live, sometimes they're so hard to live for the moment, enjoy the moment. Why? Because the cost we paid for something in the past. America, it came, the freedom. Some of the freedom we have, it came what? It came with a cost. This morning, our life, your life, where you are right now, what you do, what you believe in, who you are, where you work, how you family, how you live, every single thing that we do, it's come at what? It's come at a cost. And the challenge, and what we ask ourselves this morning, if I've lived my life at a cost, what have I paid? What have I sacrificed? And what's the cost that I've paid? And if I've paid, If I pulled out my wallet and I pulled out bills or I pulled out a card, what is it that I gave and what did I give it for? We have how many, you know, nonprofit, you know, organizations all around the world, and many people give, you know, to Salvation Army. There's so many good nonprofit organizations, and what do? They help people. There's boats that travel around the world, and all they're doing is going to countries, and they're taking care of these third world countries, people who die. We know that every 30 seconds someone dies. Why? Because of malnutrition, not having clean water. It's horrible. And so there's organizations that are around the world, and what are they doing? They're helping the less fortunate. Giving to them at a cost. Could it hurt? Well, some of us, it could hurt if we don't have the money, but maybe if it's something that we believe in, then we wouldn't feel the pain of giving. We ask ourselves this morning, America came at a cost. My life, living in the present, is coming at a cost. But what have I paid to get here? What have I paid to get to this moment? What are the things that I lost? What are the things that I gave up to be where I am today? And was it worth it? Was it worth it? How many of us have accidentally given up the truth of God's word for a lie? How many of us maybe in moments been angry or mad at God because we thought he didn't come through? And how many of us have sacrificed something that is good, something that is pure, something that is right, because we believed in a lie from the pit of hell? Jesus said, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it's here. But what did the kingdom of heaven, what did the kingdom of God come with? It comes with a cost. Because none of us in here this morning, we get to heaven unless we believe in the cost. None of us in here, when we die and you stand before God, if you don't believe in this right here, you don't believe in the saving work and the sacrifice and offering of Jesus Christ, you will not go to heaven. America came at what? A cost. Our life, living the present moment, came at what? A cost. The kingdom of heaven, what? It comes at a cost. Many of us don't respect the cost it took to bring America here. Many of us don't have respect even for ourselves and the cost that we've paid in the present moment. And how many of us neglect the cost and what was given in Jesus Christ? Jesus, God in the flesh, he came, it says, down from the earth, gave up all heavenly rights. Something that to me that blows my mind, because how many of us, if we were in heaven and we could shoot lightning bolts from our fingertips, we could zap anybody we wanted to, and it probably would be so much fun. I'm going to zap this person today. I'm going to zap this person today. It says Jesus gave up all heavenly rights to come down to this earth not to be somebody special, because to many he was nothing. He didn't look overly handsome. He didn't dress to the hilt. Jesus came to the earth, it says, with no attraction. There was nothing that attracted people in his appearance. Isaiah describing Jesus, the Son of God, there was nothing about him that would attract us to see him and his appearance. And he was willing to give up his godly rights in heaven. It says to come to the earth, become a humble person, even as a slave. What cost did Jesus give to come to the earth? He gave up everything. Jesus gave up everything to come to this earth. He came in the flesh. And not only did Jesus give up his heavenly rights, he sacrificed his life. Jesus died on a cross. And he gave his life. And he did it for two things. Do you remember our opening text? It says the demon was terrorizing a man who couldn't speak and he couldn't see. Jesus died on the cross for those two things, so that we could find our voice and so that we could see. Because how many of us saw in the text, the religious people, they couldn't see Jesus because they didn't believe in the cross. They didn't believe in the cross. They didn't believe in Jesus. They couldn't see. And so what did they use their voice for? They use their voice to divide instead of to build. And so this morning, as we wrap up, we know truth, it can be painful, it can hurt, but truth leads to freedom. Some are free, some are slaves, and some are both. Jesus said, everything you want, everything you need, everything you look for is found in my roadmap. It's found in my word. It's found in the Bible. Everything that you want, everything that you need, everything you're looking for, it is found in the word. It's found in the Bible. Our last text, Jesus was describing the count and the cost of being a Christian. So we've already talked about America, the cost, talked about our life, we've talked about the cost of being what Jesus gave. But lastly, Jesus described what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Christ. You know, when Jesus died and he rose again, that's when they came up with the term Christian, Christ followers. If you take off I-A-N, they would say, without Christ, you're left with I-A-N, I am nothing. These people truly believed without Christ, they were absolutely nothing. And Jesus describes the cost. He said, listen, if you want to be my disciple, you have to live two things. Be God first in your life and God above every single person in your life. He said, pick up your cross. Be willing to sacrifice, pick up your cross, be willing to sacrifice, be willing to give, be willing to pay, give whatever it takes to be my follower. He said, follow me, follow my footsteps, follow my words, follow what I do. And then there's two things that are important, and both of them describe something very, very huge. He described about a construction builder, and then he described someone going to war. Two things that God asks us to do, live to build up and not to tear down. Live to build people up and not to tear them down. Build people up, don't tear them down, build them up. We don't have to be negative. We don't have to say things that are gonna hurt people. We can live to build other people up. Secondly, he said, listen, fight. Fight the good fight. Fight evil. Expose darkness. Tear down evil. Hold the flag up for truth, Jesus, and light. God this morning is asking us to take on the fight because there's been some who've been captured by the devil. There's been some who've been captured by Satan, and he's saying, I need you to go and rescue them from the powers of hell. God isn't asking for 10%. How much did he say he's asking for? 100%. He said, give up what? Everything. Everything we have. Everything that we are. We must give up everything. And lastly, he said, be the salt of the earth. What does salt do? It preserves, it adds flavor, and it creates thirst in other people. And he said, don't lose your God flavor. Don't lose your salt. Don't blame. Don't make excuses. Don't look around and compare yourself to somebody else. Just simply do what God has put us here to do. Lastly, he said, if you have ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, he said, you should listen and understand. Do we have ears this morning? This morning we started a theme changing from Jars of Clay to our new theme, which is America 250, which is we're celebrating and we're honoring the country that many of us that we've grown up in, this country that some like, some don't like, some love it, some hate it. But it doesn't really matter if we love it, hate it, if we like it, if we don't, because you know what? We're still here. We're here. And if we're here for a reason. And we know what that reason is. One, we stand up for what we believe in. We stand up for the reason God created us and put us on the earth. God put us here for a reason. God put us here. God put us here. God put us here. He doesn't want us to give up. He doesn't want us to turn away. God put us here to do good things. God put us here to give everything that we have, everything that we can to make a difference every single day. Counting the cost, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. God, thank you for the men and women who died for our country. Every day, being thankful and grateful for people. Maybe life, maybe America isn't perfect, but it doesn't mean that we have to bash on it every single day. Maybe America isn't perfect. Maybe our friends, they're not perfect. Maybe our government, it's not perfect. But it does it give us the right to bash on them every day? Because we ask ourselves, are any of us in here perfect? No. And if you're not perfect, do you want other people to bash you? Not really. So then why do we bash others for being imperfect? That's not what God's put us here to do. He put us here to fight for this. The greatest sacrifice of the world. Yes, men died for our country, but Jesus died for the planet. He died for humanity. Why? Why did he die for you? So you can go to heaven. Living, breathing. Our story today is kind of a tragedy because we had one man, just one, who was given sight and the ability to speak again. But on the other side, there was a group of men who could never ever see, who could never really truly hear and understand Jesus Christ. Why could they see? Why couldn't they see? Why couldn't they hear? Because they were so full of pride. Because they were so full of pride. Because they had hate in their heart. Because they were bitter. They were fearful. They were insecure. Because someone was better than them. Jesus, he was raising the dead. He was walking on the water. I get it. I get it. I'd probably be the same way. If I was a priest back then, and here comes Jesus, and he's doing all these tricks and crazy stuff, I'd be like, man, I wish I was like that. Right? You either join in, or what do? You mock. And so the religious men, they could never turn and see or hear because of pride, because of hate. Is bitterness, insecurity, jealousy. Man, there's so many things that damage us. But you know what? More than damaging, there's so many things that divide us. Where does division come from? It's in our country. It's in our government. It's in politics. It's in churches. It's in homes all around the world. Why? Because we've let the devil cause division and we bought into it. And so today, as we start the theme America 250, we ask ourselves, God, is there any part of me that I believe a lie? Is there any part of me that I believe something not to be true? Is there any part of me, God, that I'm not seeing correctly, that I'm not hearing correctly? God, is there anything that I'm not seeing the truth of your word, of your plan? God, is there anything in me? Have I caused division or am I building people up? Am I cause division or am I reconciling people to you and each other? God, am I my fruit? God, my fruit. Is my fruit reflecting that I am a godly person, that I'm doing the best that I can? Or is my fruit reflecting somebody else? God, I see the cost in America. I see the cost of my life that I paid. I've seen the cost of my mouth. I've seen the cost of a Christian. I see the cost of Jesus Christ. This morning, Jesus paid the price for your freedom. He paid the price so you can be free. But it's we're the ones who choose to not walk in freedom. We choose to walk away from seeing the cost and choose to be a slave again. What did Paul say in Galatians? Listen, don't choose to be a slave again. If Christ sets you free, stay free. Stay free. You know, there's certain things in life that we can pay for. Many of us, we've purchased cars. Some of us are going to leave here and purchase lunch. Some of us are going to go to the movies. Some of us, we purchase things every single day. And how do you purchase it? Because there's money in your bank account that you can spend so that you can attain something. God gave his life and the rights to eternity to every single person who believes. That when you believe in it, you accept the cost. And Jesus said, then just pick up your cross, your life, and then follow me. So we ask ourselves this morning, in 250 years of freedom, in faith, positive life changes, in divine guidance, in the number 250 and what it means. This year, 2026 on, may it be a year for me understanding the price that God paid and helping me to go and pay the same with my life. We sang with everything. What were some of the lyrics? Open my eyes. Help me to see. Open my eyes, God. Help me to see. And help me to give everything. Everything that I have. Just like Jesus said in Luke 14, to count the cost. Let's pray.